Pirate's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning, day after runoff day. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Hour number three is now underway. Coming up in about 30 minutes from now, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs will make time for us here. We're going to get through some of these texts. I've been kind of sitting here for a while. Joel is pretty sad. Trump is saying Syria is better than Israel. That's big if true. Mike. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Moore comes up for re-election, especially since his supporters will be at or past the average death age. My bigger question, though, is that within the decade, you're right. The way the campaigns are being run is going to change. As boomers who support guys like Moore start dying off, will we see real America First guys in government? Or will neocon Moore types just shift strategy? You really think Barry Moore is a neocon? And come on, Mike. But the problem here is I think incumbency has perks. When Barry Moore is up in 6 years, assuming he wins in November, he's gonna be, it's gonna be up to him whether he wants to run. I guess you could count Luther Strange, but he was appointed to the U.S. Senate. But it's been since Richard Shelby in what, 86, that you took out an elected incumbent in the U.S. Senate. Maybe you could say Jeff Sessions was sort of like an incumbent with Tommy Tuberville. But he had been damaged by his time with Trump, and Trump came out swinging. But it's just not going to happen. I mean, Barry Moore will have to do something to screw up pretty bad. I don't think he's going to be that guy. He's going to fit in the United States Senate. Barry Moore, while being in the Freedom Caucus, was never the most outspoken Freedom Caucus guy. He was not a Fox News darling like a Jim Jordan, Brandon Gill type. Maybe he will be. I mean, Katie Britt's kind of slowly becoming that. And Tuberville on occasion, now he owns Newsmax and Fox Business. But Barry Moore, he's going to be around as long as he wants to be, in my opinion. Unless something unforeseen happens. Because I'm just basing it on his time as a House member. He was unbeatable. He beat Jerry Carl in his own backyard. Jerry Carl did really, really well in Mobile and Baldwin County, but not well enough to beat Barry Moore from the Wiregrass. And you look at Barry Moore's strength throughout the state. And Sam Roberts and I were talking about this. How does a guy from the Wiregrass, from Coffee County, win by 20 points in Lauderdale County, almost to Tennessee, in the opposite corner of the state? There is something to be said about that. Now, the sample here, it's a low turnout event. You can't hang your hat too much on that because, in theory, you'll have a much larger electorate in future elections potentially. But who knows, 6 years from now, 2032, trying to game plan that and understand how that looks. But based on what I'm seeing today, and, you know, things change. But when tested, when the Barry Moore machine's in place, as erratic as it was, and it got bumpy along the way, They pull it out every time. Exception 2018, but now that it's running, that you can't count this guy out. People may not take him seriously in our political hierarchy. I don't think that they do. But the results speak for themselves. Maybe you take Trump out of the equation. Still. But this is the world we live in. Donald Trump endorses candidates. And you have to understand that's just the reality. That's the field you're playing on. And they understood that. I mean, they probably didn't understand that back in 2015 when he initially endorsed. But what it doesn't, I don't understand why this is so hard. Donald Trump wins in Alabama. Donald Trump endorses your campaign. It may not be the end-all be-all, but it's sure going to help with fundraising. But clearly in this environment, in this era, the Trump endorsement mattered. But Mike, calling him a neocon, this is a stretch. He may have a different view of Israel that doesn't comport with yours, but that doesn't make you a neocon. Neoconservatism, in its true definition, he would have been voting for more money for Ukraine, and he voted against that. Unnamed texter, I do not understand why President Trump endorsed John Wall with no legislative record over West Howell with a conservative leadership voting record, legislative voting record. Can you explain that for me? I'm curious. I have some suspicions here now. Like a party chairman, very loyal to Trump, raised a lot of money for Trump. I also think that Tommy Tuberville may have helped. I don't know. But the problem for Wes Allen, they just did not get in front of that Trump endorsement. It was out there. It may have been perceived to be a long shot. But you can't leave those things up for chance. You got to do the blocking and tackling. The unforeseen circumstances. If Donald Trump doesn't endorse John Wall, if that endorsement never comes, John Wall might not get into lieutenant governor's race. And Wes Allen may have won that thing outright back on May 19. But Trump endorsed. Okay, so that's what changed this race. Why weren't you ready for that? Why weren't you calling down to Mar-a-Lago every day? What do we need to do to get on your good side? What do we need to do to make Susie Wiles, to make James Blair happy, to make Donald Trump happy, to make Don Jr., J.D. Vance, whoever in that orbit, happy? What does it take? You don't have to get their endorsement. You just have to get them to like you enough not to endorse. Wes Allen had a problem. He had a math problem. The entirety. No matter where it was polled, 35% ceiling. As we went a little further along, you got to 40. And then ultimately, he landed at 43%. That was always a problem to me, looking at it, watching the polls. And like I said, the polling was bad, but the trend was never there. There was never a trend. It was like, oh, this guy is really starting to take command of this race. The people were, he had a plurality. He may have led the field, but then you had a high number of undecideds, and they weren't doing the right things to win over the undecideds. And then something came along that made people say, okay, well, this helps me make up my mind. I know I'm like Monday morning quarterbacking here. But I thought that from the get-go. Like, you know, you could have stopped this if you just played the game better. And sometimes the game is more than just campaigning. There's a behind-the-scenes thing you got to do. You have to be aware of these potential pitfalls. And they weren't ready for it. They really got tested. They had an opportunity here to see that something was wrong when A.J. McCarron flirted with the idea of running, and A.J. McCarron skyrocketed into polls. And A.J. McCarron, not a Trump-endorsed guy, he just showed up one day and said, I'm running for lieutenant governor. And that told you right there that, well, voters are looking for something else that you're not offering right now. Why don't you figure that out? They just never moved on it. They never retooled their strategy. And that's why I think John Wall prevailed last night, and he prevailed throughout this election cycle. Wes Allen got in February 2025. Wall did not get in until what, October, November of that year? He had a head start. And couldn't make more out of it. Jeff, this is Bucky Beaver. The election is over. Can you talk a little bit more about chaos and pressure with the police department and all the changes and more to come? I am not knowledgeable on the police department. Sorry, Bucky. I don't know even what police department you were referring to. Ultra Runner, UFC 250 was an incredibly entertaining event. The foiled UFC terror plot sounds like a sick Farley fantasy. When will the Dems pay a price for their pathological left-wing violence? People get tired of it. It's going to start hurting Democrats. When they can't keep their crazies in order, and I think this is big, this is you could take this back to Butler, Pennsylvania, and when they tried to kill Donald Trump, you just sensed it. The public was enough of this. And that keeps happening. If you keep having these crackpots who are so far ginned up about one guy, and the reason they're ginned up about the guy, you could say he's good or bad, but you can't say that he is everything is Hitler or everything is Nazi. Everything is fascism. That's just not true. Everything can't be racist. Everything can't be the most derogatory term that you can get away with. But what that does is there are some people that gets to, and they really believe it. And this is what happens. And that's not going to work. It's just not a sound strategy. Because the people who are already there, you don't need to stir them up even more. You need to start looking at expanding your numbers and not just winning off of enthusiasm. I think this is the civil war in the Democratic Party. Democrats will have a good night in November. That's for sure. But long term, I'd be worried if I were a Democrat. What is it going to look like in 10 years? 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home. Through those Alabama pines.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. Will Hampson coming up in the next segment, so make sure you stay tuned for that. You got to see this J.D. Crow cartoon. I mean, he has He has drawn Tommy Tuberville with a odd looking nose. But Doug Jones, and then they're at the Flora Bama, so I guess this is a playoff of Florida and Alabama. But he has Doug Jones drawn like he's Bruce Springsteen in 1986. It is, I don't want to say what people think of in their private moments, but J.D. Crow clearly has a vision of Doug Jones that is not steeped in reality. Terry John Wallace sent Alabama Republicans to help Trump in 2024. I volunteered and did campaign phone calls into Michigan. Some went to neighboring states to knock on doors. Well, and I think Joan Reynolds had a lot of that to do with that. Did he help facilitate it? But you got to see this about Wallace, chairman. I mean, he had a very loyal faction within the hierarchy of the Alabama Republican Party. Old guy says, shh, never interrupt your enemy when he is making a mistake. That from Napoleon. Yeah, but just my analysis, and there's not many Democrats who take me seriously. They should. But they got a problem on their hands. I just, it's like Kamala Harris, and she was kind of going to be the ferry to the other side. She's going to be the ark. And she was going to rescue the Democratic Party and get them past this moment. But she wasn't capable of it. They built a structure, identity politics, and catering to hyper special interest groups based on social issues or whatever. And you know, that could be good or bad. Where whatever subjective response you want for that is fine, but objectively, there's just not enough numbers there to have a broad appeal, a mass appeal. There's something going on in America, and it's not so much as it's not as bad as it was, say, COVID. But they somehow won over like Madison Avenue, the marketing, the Des Moines, Iowa focus group crowd, where they test market things and get the Americans' reaction. They said enough of that. We think that we get more bang for our buck virtue signaling. And the virtue signaling and being more virtuous on the other side. But most people behind closed doors, they don't want any part of that. And then I think furthermore, yes, there has been a demographic shift in this country. But there's something in the American DNA that rejects like all-out socialism. It's just, it's not how people were raised. It's not in the DNA of the country. It may be gaining ground, but in a broad wholesale 50-state strategy, it's not going to work. The times that it does work, there's some kind of economic calamity. For Obama, it was the housing crisis, and there was a real fear out there that this was, you know, a depression. Roosevelt, there was a real fear with the Great Depression. You had real famine in this country. You had hungry people. You had a lot of poverty. You don't really have that. They put a lot of safeguards in place. We may not have the rosiest economic picture relative to the status quo at some point in the future. But you're never going to be Zimbabwe. You're never going to be Venezuela. You're never going to be that. That our balance sheet, assets and liabilities, there's enough wealth in this country where people will be able to survive and not live an impoverished lifestyle like they do in a lot of countries where you have these spikes in turmoils and you know, where you have these drastic changes. You just, the temperature never gets to that point in America. And that's why socialism, I don't think, can succeed in a broad base in a political setting like we have it right now in the United States. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Was gonna keep you free and clean. counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me nothing to do.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the show. All I got to do is text me. Joining us now on the line, we usually hear from him on Tuesday, but he joins us now on the line from P2 Public Affairs, Will Hampson. Will, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, doing great. Always appreciate the chance to join you.
Yeah, well, elections last night around the Fruited Plain. Alabama, I don't think it much was a surprise, at least the races that were probably on the radar for a lot of you Washington, D.C. types. For whatever reason, it kind of got around to somebody inside the Beltway media, Politico and other places. Well, you better watch out for this Jared Hudson guy. He could pull it off. And then that turned out to be sort of silly.
Yeah, I mean, I think you had some parties who, benefited from making this a closer race than it ultimately ended up being. I think that those that were following this closely, I don't think there were any major surprises here. I do think that there are obviously some pollsters, both in the state and across the country, that have to kind of take a look in the mirror and go, how did we get this so wrong? Particularly to your point with Jared Hudson. I mean, obviously, we were told that, Fox News even wrote the article and posted it that Barry Moore was done and ultimately went on to win by double digits and, was not as close as some made it out to seem. So I think that's kind of the reeling effect here is, and not that Alabama is unique in that, Jeff. I think there are a lot of these races where we're seeing that, some of these pollsters have been pretty wrong, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't think any major surprises here in the state of Alabama last night.
Yeah, and I'll say this about it because, and those some of our listeners may not be aware, Fox News pre-wrote their story. They have, there's this thing where you, in journalism, where you expect an outcome and you just get it ready to go. It's like they do this all the time in sports. The Braves are up 8-1. They get the story ready and get ready to hit send and file it when the game's over. They somehow at Fox decided to pre-write the story and it somehow got published announcing that Jared Hudson was the winner. But they saw something or they bought into something to think that was going to be the outcome, and that's the story they had ready to go. And I think that was just, there's a lot of people who really thought that. Really thought that Jared Hudson would pull this out and Trump was going to take an L here, but it was so divorced from what the reality was. It was divorced from the reality of May 19. And, a lot of people just got it wrong. And I blame the polling. The polling in this state is terrible.
Well, and Jeff, we also know, I think, that there were some powerful forces in the state and in Washington who may be more wishful thinking than reality. But there were certainly some pretty powerful forces that I think would like to have seen Jared Hudson ultimately become the junior senator from Alabama. And so, how much of that is those people kind of working their networks and, trying to get a narrative out there. But I will say, I mean, the Hudson operation was incredibly successful in getting that narrative out. I mean, they were everywhere. They were in, Politico playbook. Obviously, Fox News bought into it. So, while it was obviously very divorced from reality, they did a good job in that operation. And look, something I heard, Jeff, in the closing days from a lot of people around Washington was just how bad the Barry Moore team handled the last couple weeks. I think there were a lot of people that thought that they really botched a lot of this. Now, obviously, it didn't end up mattering, but, that's always the kind of, backroom back and forth that we see in Washington where some people are able to play better hands. And I think that the Hudson operation certainly outpunched their weight class. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him back in the future for more.
No, and I, a couple of things there. I think Hudson's sort of strategy is going to be the way of the future. We're just not there yet. The electorate has not. I mean, we're not winning and losing these elections on Facebook. We're not. I mean, and you know, the digital game is important, and it got Hudson to where he was. But that's not good enough. It's good. It's good that you start out from zero and you get to where you are, and you're still playing on Tuesday, in the final round. But that's not what's going to push you over the edge. But I will say this one thing about the whole veterans kerfuffle. I thought it could have been a problem. I think the Barry Moore guys got to this fork in the road, and they almost played the Roy Moore card. And let me explain that in Roy Moore, when the allegations dropped, Roy Moore, in that Washington Post story, Roy Moore just mishandled it. He mishandled it. He still almost won, but he mishandled it. He goes on Sean Hannity's syndicated radio show, dodges all the questions, does not take it on head on. It was just a weird, like, oh, these are such scurrilous accusations that I'm not even going to, they don't even warrant a response. You can't play that game. That's just not how the game is played. That never wins. You can't run away from a punch. I mean, I guess you can, but you're not going to win. And they were going to do that. They were threatening media outlets with legal action. They were doing things like that. They were trying to play this, like, this retreat strategy and just hang on. All they cared about was to win. And then finally, like, somebody, I think the adults in Washington, D.C. got a hold of them and said, no, this is the way we're going to do this. You're going to explain it like this. And that's what worked. And that's what saved Barry Moore. He still may have won, but it would have been a much, much closer race.
And Jeff, those conversations were absolutely happening, right? And again, it is not the last time you will hear this, but there is a perception that Alabama and its operatives and people involved down here don't know how to play in the big leagues. And I think when you're seeing these Senate races play out, that was a big part of Barry Moore's initial success, right? I mean, he was able to coalesce Washington. I think it as much as we in Alabama want to kind of say that, you know, we don't take our marching orders from Washington, we don't care, all of that institutional help certainly was a big factor in Barry Moore becoming our next United States Senator. But at the end of the day, that's a common theme that I'm hearing from a lot of people, even people in Trump world, Jeff, is that, you know, Barry won. We're happy that Barry won, but he's got to figure out how to play in the big leagues now. And it certainly doesn't seem like as of right now he might be ready, but it's time to go. And obviously, I still think that Barry Moore is going to be a very good United States Senator. I think his ability to kind of figure out how to step it up and take a step forward is going to dictate whether he can be a good United States Senator or a great United States Senator.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think the there's a reason why there's very intelligent, smart people who go on to play in Washington, D.C. Now, it's not to say that every Washington, D.C. consultant is superior to every Alabama consultant. Alabama consultants know the state. They kind of know all the tricks of the trade, who to talk to. But in a U.S. Senate race with so much at stake here, and there's a lot at stake, this is not a backwoods congressional race. This is one of 100. And it just takes a different pedigree. I think, even more so than governor or something like that, because the D.C. establishment is invested in this. They like having the club. And at some point, I think when we saw the Thune endorsement, when we saw Tom Cotton and Tim Scott and these NRSC guys get behind Barry Moore, they kind of saw the writing on the wall. And he may not have been their choice, but he was the best available option at the time.
Without a doubt, Jeff. And here's the flip side of it, right, is that we have a reputation in Alabama. I think Tommy Tuberville is obviously a severe irregularity in this, but we send senators to Washington for a long time. I mean, we have the Richard Shelbys who will go up there and be there for 30 years. The anticipation, I think, for most people is that Katie Britt is going to be up there most of her adult life. I think the same is seen of Barry Moore. I think people assume that he's going to go up there. He's going to be our senator for 20, 30 years. People know that Alabama senators have staying power, and they spend a lot of time up there of their career. And so if you're looking at it, of course, the establishment and even conservative groups up there, I think everyone across the board kind of saw early on Barry Moore's going to be the guy. And if this guy's going to be a United States senator for the next, you know, quarter century, we obviously got to get in there and make sure that we have a relationship with them. It's going to be really important. And I think that's why you saw leadership, the John Thunes of the world. I can guarantee you, Jeff, John Thunes' number one choice for Alabama senator was not Barry Moore. But he still understood that, look, this is going to be a guy who's going to be up there. He's going to be here for a long time. We got to start to figure out this relationship and figure out how to work for him. So I think that's a good thing, right, that Barry Moore has going for him is, you know, obviously, you know, the powers that be in Washington certainly saw the writing on the wall and understood we got to find a way to get this guy into the fold. So my hope is that Barry gets a little bit serious. He gets up there and starts to kind of figure out, you know, how he can navigate Washington and how he can really make an impact. But, you know, I certainly think that, you know, Washington saw what was going to happen here. And they said, you know what, whether we want him or not, we got to start being ready to work with him.
It was also the Trump factor. And you know, it's going to be hard to beat the Trump guy in Alabama. Not saying that it couldn't happen. Roy Moore did it against Luther Strange. But that's just atypical. That's not usually what happens here. And, you know, once Trump gets in, your hand's kind of forced. You're going to have to go in that direction. Club for Growth, for example. But they've been with Barry from the get-go. So, like, I also think that's such a big part of it that people just have to, like, come to grips with. That's not going to be that way forever, obviously. But for right now, I mean, we're not talking about what will happen in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. We're talking about what's happening right now. And there's just some people who just kind of refuse to acknowledge that. You know, Trump's not going to tell us how to vote. Well, he may not tell you how to vote, but he's going to tell a lot of people where to spend their money.
And that's the big thing, right, Jeff? I mean, you've got a large swath of the United States Senate that is already beyond a Donald Trump presidency, right? I mean, if you don't have to run next cycle, you effectively are immune from the Trump factor. I mean, who knows what his influence will look like after he leaves office once he's done. But a lot of these senators are starting to figure out what life looks like beyond Trump. Then you've got the kind of Trump wing, which I think is where Barry Moore's going to thrive. You've got the Barry Moores, the Bernie Morenos, the Rick Scotts, those types where these next 2 years matter to them. They actually believe in the Trump agenda. They want to see the Trump agenda get done. They understand that window is closing. We've only got 2 more years once those guys get, you know, once Barry Moore is sworn in. So it's going to be really interesting to see these factions where even state by state, you might have one, you know, pro-Trump who really wants to get stuff done in the next 2 years. And you might have, you know, the other member who's looking 15 years down the road at what their career looks like well past Trump. But, you know, that kind of back and forth in that fight of what are we going to do for, you know, to deliver for Donald Trump for the next 2 years is going to be a really interesting fight in D.C.
Yeah, and I think, like, just kind of an extension of that and Republicans, and we go back to 16, 17, the very beginning of the Trump presidency in the first term, there was sort of like the Mitch McConnells and, you know, there were groups of senators and lawmakers. Oh, this guy's not going to last. He may even be impeached before he gets to the end of his term. And there's no way there was going to ever be a second term. They were too dismissive early on. And you saw a lot of political careers kind of come to an end because of that. Like, it just they never were willing to accept the reality that Donald Trump is a part of American politics in the Republican Party.
Yeah, but Jeff, the flip side is true too, right? I mean, in Georgia last night, had a Stacey Abrams, Liz Cheney donor become the nominee based on spending over $100 million of his own wealth, combined with the fact that he was able to convince people, despite being a Stacey Abrams, Liz Cheney donor, that he would be Donald Trump's famous president. That's the other flip side of it here, is that you have to really decide, I think, what lane you're going to be in now. I mean, are you going to be a Trump guy? Are you going to spend a lot of money convincing people that you're a MAGA guy, but you're really not? I mean, where do they all fall down here? And as we know, Jeff, that anti-Trump force, particularly in the United States Senate, is only growing. It's only getting bigger right now. And so the ability of some of these Trump guys, like a Barry Moore, to get in there and maneuver, I think is going to be really interesting in whether the president can get anything done in the next couple of years. But absolutely, I think that the Trump factor still weighs in certain parts of the country. But I do think that the other side, the more traditional Chamber of Commerce type Republicans, are starting to see a window and an ability to fight back that they haven't always had during the Trump times here. So it's going to absolutely be a battle, I think, for the soul of the party and whether or not we abandon the president now or down the road. But it is good to have some reinforcements, and I'm glad that Barry Moore's going up there to be one of those reinforcements.
Will, folks want to find you online. How could they do so?
The Will Hampson on X.
Y'all check out Will. Will, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you.
All right. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Like an angry cannonball. Now the walls of history are cold and still, but they still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair. To the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's left of this Wednesday morning? The other problem with pollsters is they are so divorced from the history of propaganda and communications and mass communications that they get high off their own supply and actually believe the total validity of their methodology while forgetting design and purpose of it. Ultra Runner, you gave Wes Allen a Rorschach test and he wrote a love letter to the timber industry. Not lower taxes, not government, smart government. Nope. Large multinational timber companies were on top of mind. Wes had lots of mistakes. Can't bear the thought of, from another texter here says, can't bear the thought of seeing Barry Moore's face in Washington for 6 years, most of the last 25. And one more squirrel verine, with a trip to the tanning bed costs less than some of the precious metals for Dave's wife. Okay. Well, there you have it. Thank you for that, squirrel verine. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Precious metals for Dave's wife, I guess. You know, we'll see what in the next episode of what Dave gets into. See what he's buying out there. All right, I got a question for you before we lay out the much coveted what's coming up on the Midday Show. Over under, did you have it for the turnout being sub 10% for Mobile County? So you'd have won if you'd have, I don't know if Kalshi had that one or Poly Market, whatever.
The rain.
So over the rain. I mean, it's probably accurate to some degree, but people do all kind of stuff they want to do when it's raining. Okay.
But do you really, I mean, and you should want to vote, but do you really want to vote?
Yes.
Does the average person really want to do this?
I want to vote, and it's like those things we teach our children. God bless my parents for, you know, that's just part of our life growing up. You build muscle memory. You know, you do a thing, and this is a thing I do. And you go do it.
It's a lagging thing, though. It's a waning tradition.
You're damn right it is. We'll talk about that.
They'll say, I'm going to make my vote count in the general election. I don't know these candidates. I haven't taken time. I'll show up to vote.
Well, then
in
don't vote
election.
At all. Then, if you hadn't taken time, you know.
I'm just going to go in and hit Republican. That's what I do. And that, my dad was that way, and that's always like, Dad, that's a formality.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. That's just the way the culture, the political culture, at least, has moved.
Yeah. Well, it's showing. I mean, it's not just you theorizing now. So we'll talk about some of those numbers coming up. And also the deal, the Iran deal, of course, President talking to the G7 summit about that right now. We'll talk about that. Also the you know, I said yesterday, and I meant it like I said, I understand some people could get upset here. Understand that I use satire a bunch. I said, you know, the UFC event at the White House would not have been as successful if there wasn't a terror plot. I mean, of course there was a terror plot organized around it. But how this thing came unraveled and all that, I think is pretty interesting. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, Erica Thomas joins me. And hour number two, Heath Hutchinson joins me because we're going to talk about a lawsuit that's been filed against Moz by a person that Moz had filed a lawsuit against. It gets pretty interesting.
If there had been a terror plot on LGBTQ Pride Day where the dude showed his boobs, we'd still... We would still be talking about it to this day, mark my word.
For sure.
It would be a national holiday. I got to get out of here. I appreciate everybody listening. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.